All right, this morning, we're going to talk about abounding. And you're like, why are we going to talk about abounding? What is, some of you, a lot of you said you know what abounding is, that you use that word. I've never used that word. I really haven't. And I was preaching a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about Thanksgiving and how Thanksgiving is meant to be not just a day that we celebrate or a month that we take note of and try to think about why we're thankful. But there's a passage in Colossians that I shared that morning that I have read before, because I know I've read through my Bible several times, right? But I have never paid attention to that word in connection to anything in the Bible. And I'm going to read it for you again real quick. It's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and it's regarding thanksgiving. And it says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And I read that even as I was up here up front, and I was like, abounding in thanksgiving. What does that even mean? Right? And so obviously I know the root, right? I can understand that it's this exceedingly lot. There's a great amount of it. But it sent me on a journey, and I've been having fun the past couple weeks trying to see, what is God saying about abounding? And it feels like the implication in this is that all believers are meant to abound in thanksgiving. And so then I had to ask, do I? Would people that I know and that love me, would they say, I abound in thanksgiving? Am I always thankful? Right? There's other passages we looked at that morning. Are you? Would people say, you're abounding in thanksgiving? If all believers are meant to abound in thanksgiving, how many of us in this room who are following after Jesus are abounding in thanksgiving, right? Again, all of these kinds of things is not to evoke condemnation or critique if you're not, but there's an invitation to say there's more, right? Do you want the more? Jesus paid that you would have abundant life. Do you want it? Or do you want to settle for what you got? That's always a question that I'm looking at. Anyway, as I explored that, I said, like, what does it even mean? So I looked it up right in the dictionary, and we got some definitions up here. So the meaning, three definitions: to occur or exist in great quantities or numbers, to be rich or well supplied, to be filled to overflowing. All right, so that's quite a lot. And then go to the next slide. These are synonyms. This helps me actually. So I was an English major in college, but sometimes it's really helpful to look at the synonyms. And so here's a whole bunch, right? So this is what abounding would look like: to flourish, proliferate, thrive, crowd, flow, infest, overflow, swarm, swell, team, be alive with, be all over the place. Are you all over the place with Thanksgiving, right? Be knee deep in, be no end to, be plentiful, thick with, be up to one's ears in, to crawl with, to have a full plate. Like, that's a whole lot of thanksgiving. If that's what abounding means, I don't know if I have that or if I walk in that. Because that is like jump off the page kind of lifestyle of thanksgiving, right? I think we're meant to have that, though. And so I asked God, I was like, are there other substances of heaven found in the scriptures that mention abounding? And so it sent me on a pursuit, right? Again, I've read the Bible many times, but I never focused on that word before. And it was curious to me. And so I started looking in the scriptures. And what I found is there are a few. And the first one that I found was in Deuteronomy 28. And this, it's prosperity. Do you abound in prosperity? You do. So go back to that list of all those synonyms. Are you up to your ears in prosperity? Are you knee-deep in prosperity? Are you teeming with prosperity? All right, let's look at that for a second. So let me read this passage. I'm not just going to read the one verse where it says it, but I'm going to give you the context too. Basically, the people of Israel, they were hearing, like, if you follow the commands of the Lord, this is what life's going to go like. And if you don't follow the commands of the Lord, then life's not going to go so well. But that's sort of the context. And it says this: and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. It doesn't say you won't have any enemies. It says the enemies that come against you will be defeated, right? They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on your barns, or on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And here's verse 11. It says, and the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You're meant to be a lender, right? And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall only go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. All right. Is this true? Like, if I walk with God and I follow his commands, am I meant to abound in prosperity? Finances? Is that included? Resources? Livelihood? I mean, we have a picture in the New Testament where we have Paul in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He says that he shares what it is to have need and to be in plenty, right? To have plenty and to have need. And he's learned the secret of being content in every situation. So there's a tension, right? Because he's giving you the example that there are times or seasons where you have apparent lack. And yet there's a contentment in that. And yet in the Old Testament, in this passage I just read, it seems like you're always meant to abound in prosperity. It's an interesting thing to me. So we hold that intention, but what it brought up for me is perhaps there's a measure of abounding in prosperity that we as followers of Jesus don't access because we don't really believe it's true. We don't press for it. We don't fight for it. We don't count on it. And I think our experiences often scream that as followers of Jesus, that we're meant to abound in just enough. Like, God's going to take care of all my needs. It's just enough. He's just going to give me just enough. And then some of us, we're meant to abound in lack because it seems like that's all we ever experience. Right? That's just the truth, the real reality. And yet the greater truth is what the Word of God says, right? So another verse is Proverbs 28:20. It says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. So if I'm faithful, if I'm walking with God, I'm meant to abound with blessing. There should be blessing all over my life. And obviously not all blessings are financial in nature, right? But it includes finances, or it should. And so the blessings as indicated in Deuteronomy 28, they're fully for you and for me as you follow Jesus. If what? If you follow his commands. Right, and so you can look at that. You can say, well, oh, this lack in my life is because I must be messing up somewhere. I must not be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't think that's what God's asking you today. There may be some area of your life that's not in alignment with the kingdom, but I would ask the Holy Spirit and say, God, is there anything? And then if he doesn't say anything, just trust that there's nothing. Does that make sense? Too often we like look for what's wrong because obviously this isn't working out. And yet the reality is the Holy Spirit is so good. If there's an area of your life that you're not walking in alignment with the principles of God, he'll show you. He'll do whatever it takes to show you, because Jesus paid for you to have abundant life. It's on him. It's not on you. He's going to invite you and continue to reveal things to you. You have a choice, because there may be things in your life that you don't want to give up. You like doing it your way. And yet the reality of Deuteronomy 28 is if you do it his way, you will prosper. And it's not just finances. It's in every area of life, right? It was curious to me. Anyway, so that's one. I think we're meant to abound in prosperity, and that's something we can continue to explore, right? Another one, Romans 15, 13 is hope. This verse says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So obviously we know that God is the God of hope. And we're made in his image, you and I, right? Whether you have a relationship with God or not, you're made in his image. And you carry his DNA. There's part of God, right, that's inside of every single person. And God doesn't just fill us with hope that we would abound in hope. What does he fill us with? This is the most curious thing. It seems like if I need more hope, he should just fill me with hope. But it doesn't work that way. What does he fill you with? Huh? He fills you with joy and peace. Why? How does that work? So he wants me to have more hope over here. The equation is I'm going to add some joy and I'm going to add some peace and you're going to become more hopeful. That's pretty exciting. And yet at the end of the day, the truth is we're meant to abound in hope. I like how it says in believing, right? In other versions, they say as you trust in him. So he fills us with joy and peace in believing, or as I trust in him, he increases a measure of joy. He increases a measure of peace, right? Believing and trusting what? His word, right? His promises, his victory, who he says he is, right? That it's really true. What he says has happened, or the promises that he's given us, that they will come to pass. And then that coupled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So you got one more little concoction that you're going to put in there, some power of the Holy Spirit, and it produces abounding hope in you and me. Right? So we're meant to abound in hope. Do you guys believe that? All right. Are you teeming with hope? Are you up to your ears in hope? Would your husband or wife say that? Would your children say that? Right? Or your next door neighbor? Your coworker? That's where the rubber meets the road for me. Because it's one thing for me to look in the mirror and say, I am abounding with hope. That might be good for me to do. But if everybody in my life says, no, you're not, then I got an issue. I can go to God. The good news is I can go to God because he's got the remedy. A little joy, a little peace, and some power from the Holy Spirit, and I will be abounding in hope. Does that make sense? All right, let's go to another one. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 to 13, it says love. Who's abounding in love? It says, verse 12, it says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So the Lord provides the increase of love. He's pouring out love in this situation, right? So that would enable us to abound in love for one another. Who's that? I think it's the people who are in the body of Christ, like right around you. That's my interpretation of it. And then it says, and for all. Who's the all? Right? Some people think that the all is all believers. And then some people think that the all is all mankind, every single human being, whether they have a relationship with God or not. I'm not going to answer that question, right? Obviously, we know that the Father's heart is on with love towards all people, right? So it's all believers and all people who don't have a relationship with him, right? So you're safe wherever you land. But our hearts would be blameless in holiness, so that our hearts would be blameless in holiness. We're meant to abound in love so that our hearts would be blameless in holiness, pure. Like whose heart? Whose heart is pure? Our Father's heart, our Heavenly Father's heart is pure. It's blameless, right? And I believe as we grow and abound in love for others, our heart becomes more and more like our Father's heart. What did Jesus reveal as he walked on earth? The heart of the Father. Everything he did, everything he said, revealed the heart of the Father. Right? I believe Jesus obviously abounded in love. It's all over the place in everything he did. And that's the Father's heart. And there's this, the good news is that we're meant to abound in that same love. So that wherever we go, whoever we interact with, they get to taste and see the Father's heart of love. Right? It's on towards them. That pure heart, that blameless heart. Right? That's possible for us with the Holy Spirit, I believe. The last one that I found, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, is abounding in the work of the Lord. How many of you guys are abounding in the work of the Lord? Right? Obviously, it depends on what you determine that is, right? You may have a picture of what that looks like. Some people think, well, that means you got to be a missionary, go overseas, right? Or you need to be a pastor, or you need to be this, right? I don't believe so. Let me read the verse. It says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so I asked the question, how would we know what's the work of the Lord? Right? I have ideas. And I felt like the Holy Spirit, he said, well, what did Jesus do? Look at that. And so obviously the Cliff Notes version is Jesus had compassion on the hurting. He calmed storms, set captives free, healed the sick, raised the dead, encouraged the discouraged, pursued outcasts, crossed racial and gender barriers to reveal the Father's heart. We could keep going, right? And so I said, well, then to abound in the works of the Lord means I need to do that. Are you guys doing that on a regular basis? Right? That's a challenge in some sense, but I felt like the key is we're supposed to abound in that as followers of Jesus, right? We know that Jesus said you would do that as a disciple. You're going to do the same works as me and even greater works. And many people in the church say, well, I don't think he really meant it because, you know, I don't see a lot of that. There hasn't been a lot of raising from the dead in Sonoma County. There has been a deaf person whose ear was opened up in Sonoma County. I have a testimony of that, right? It happened by Smith Wigglesworth up in Casadero. Is that out there where the train used to go? Yeah, there's a camp out there. And Smith Wigglesworth came here with Montgomery. What's her name? She lived down in Oakland. I can't think of her name. But they used to have camps way out there in Casadero. And Smith Wigglesworth was, if you don't know Smith Wigglesworth, he was a healing evangelist, amazing minister of God from England. And he came over here for different revival meetings. And they had one in Casadero. And a person was sitting in the meetings the whole time, every single session, right? He was down in front and he was deaf, completely deaf. And Smith Wigglesworth was getting frustrated because he had seen many deaf ears opened up before. But for some reason, this particular individual, it just wasn't happening. And the guy was sitting there and sitting there and sitting there through every single session. And then all of a sudden, the man just runs out of the room at the end or in part of one of the sessions. And when they checked in with him and they said, well, why did you run out of the room? He said, it was too loud. I couldn't handle the noise. And God healed him right here in Sonoma County. And so that gives me a lot of hope because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if it happened before, it can happen again. Does that make sense? Right? Just because we don't see it on a regular basis doesn't mean we're not supposed to be abounding in it. If my life or your life is not abounding with the works of the Lord, then we just need more grace in us, right? We need more of his grace. If you want more, if you want to experience more of life like Jesus did, you just ask for more grace. Give me more grace, Holy Spirit, so that you can abound in the works of the Lord. I think often we wait passively and we say, okay, God, if your heart's for revival in this county, then you're just going to do it. And if you want to utilize me in the process, I'm here. And often we don't press for it. We don't keep asking, seeking, knocking, fighting for it. Maybe we do it for a season and we feel like, oh, it's just not happening yet. So we get tired, we get back in complacency. And I feel like part of this message today is God's knocking again and he's saying, will you do what I say? Will you walk in what I walk in? Will you step out and truly be the church? Right? Because this is fun church, right? It's safe, it's peaceful, but this isn't really church. Now, you have people staring at me now, right? Now, you know, the reality is church is out there. Because the number one thing that Christ said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven is go. And we're meant to be a body. We're meant to work together. We're meant to fight for one another. But we're also meant to go to Judea, right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so if you want to call Santa Rosa, since you're here right now, or whatever city you live in, Jerusalem, do you go? Would the people in your city declare that you abound in the works of the Lord? That challenges me. I don't know what people in my city would say about me, right? It's interesting. All right. I was at Safeway on Monday or Tuesday, I forget, on the one on College, and I was in line, and the clerk at the Safeway, I don't know her name, but she was making every single customer in front of me laugh, and she was coming up with different strategies to try to get them to laugh, and it was just, you could tell, it was a tactic that she used, and it was successful. So a number of people in front of me, they just started laughing because she would just go at them in different ways and try to have conversation. And then she gets to me, and sure enough, she did the same thing to me. And I said, I've been watching you. I said, you seem like you are just so full of joy. And she said, well, isn't that the best way to be? She's like, I'm not in prison. I have pretty good health. Most of my life I have a job, right? What do I have to complain about? And if I got to work here at this job, why don't I be joyful and make other people joyful too? And so we had this little conversation. And as I was, I'm preparing this message. And I was like asking God afterwards, I said, that woman seems like she's abounding in joy. Like it just oozes from her, right? And yet when I looked at the scriptures, I don't see the word abounding anywhere in context with joy. So I asked God, I said, can you abound in joy? And I see the words fullness and overflowing with joy, right? But I don't see the word abounding, right? If we're going to be technical, right, it's not there. But when I asked Jesus, he said this. He said, you can abound in all the substances of heaven if you really want to. And so then I had to ask myself, what do I really want? Do I really want to abound in various substances of heaven, right? Will I press or fight for it to be my reality no matter what the cost? Will you? Right? The truth is most people abound in something. Every single person in this room probably abounds in something. And we don't necessarily call it abounding, right? Like you guys say you use that word. I've never heard any person in this church use that word. So maybe you do in your quiet time, or maybe you do with your other friends, but I don't hear people throwing that word out, right? I'm waiting to see. But we call it something different. Like we look at a person and we say, so-and-so is so hopeful. They're always hopeful, right? That's like abounding. You always have peace. Even in the hardest of circumstances, I can't imagine how you could have peace going through what you're going through. That's like abounding in peace, right? And so there's other substances of heaven that we see on one another and we could identify. And I think the beauty of the body of Christ is not everybody's strong in everything, right? And so there's a number of people like that so-and-so is full of faith, right? I'm going to go to them when I'm contending for something, right? Because I need that. And maybe I can grow in that, right? There's a sense of that. But we also, I think individuals can abound in substances that are not from heaven. Do you guys know anybody like that? Like, I'll give you a couple examples. So that would be things like fear or discouragement, hopelessness, jealousy, a critical spirit, a poverty mindset, a victim mindset. Like, we could go on. I know many people who abound in these things. You just hang around them for a little bit and you hear the language that they use. I know many people who are not just non-believers that abound in substances like this, right? And there's a process that's going on in their lives. What I'm realizing is that we get to choose what we abound in. You're not stuck. What we press for, right? And this can be hard for some, right? Because often we don't want the responsibility really for anything in life to fall on us. If we're abounding in a substance that's not of the kingdom, we tend to blame it on our circumstances, our upbringing, or trauma that we've endured, which they're all real and significant, right? So I'm not downplaying those things. But these things don't get the final say. Anything that's happened to you, anything that you've had to go through, any situation that was out of your control or in your control, you made bad choices, right? None of that gets to have the final say as long as Jesus is on the throne. Do you think Jesus is getting off the throne anytime soon? No, right? Like, it's a done deal. So you're stuck, right? I think some of us, this is a hard one, but I think for some of us today, as you're hearing my voice, that it's time to kick the victim mindset to the curb. Like, you remember the guy at the pool of Bethesda? This is not my notes, but he's just like, Jesus comes, he says, do you want to get well? And the guy's like, I don't know what to do. I can never make it to the water. Whenever the stirring, then somebody else goes in the water and they get there first. And Jesus basically heals the guy, right? Like, but I wish he sort of challenged him a little bit. Like, quit your whining. Like, do something about it. Right? That's not God, I guess, but because Jesus healed him. But the reality is that so often, if you're wrestling with the victim mindset, it's like, I can't get over this because this, or this, right? And yet the victim mindset is not a part of the kingdom. The victim mindset doesn't get the final say. And so if you're wrestling with that this morning, I think there's an invitation to be done with it. You don't have to go home with it. You could be done today. It's just God touching you and recognizing what the truth is, right? I think if a mindset doesn't lead to abundant life, it's not serving you. So why keep it? I think often we keep it because it's so familiar. We've been operating under that spirit for so long. It's like woven into the fabric of us. And yet the reality, even that's a lie. Because if we say it's woven in, then it's really hard to get out. And the reality is, no, it's like a coat that you could just take off and throw away. I'd burn it. That's what I would do. Just get rid of it. You don't have to wear it anymore. Anyway, that's not all in my notes either. All right, should we talk about something happier? No. No, if you want to pray about anything like that this morning, come up to the people up front afterwards. If you feel like, I'm just stuck. But the reality is you're not stuck because Jesus does have the final say. And he's more eager and able to set you free than you could ever think or imagine. Because if you're operating under other spirits, you're not really, you can do things for the kingdom and you can still have a close relationship with God, but you can do a whole lot more once you're completely free. And we're meant to be free, right? All right, let's talk about Christmas. You guys like Christmas? All right. Now, I'd encourage you to take time to reflect on Luke chapter 2, verse 10 in these next couple weeks. And it's familiar to most of you. It says, the angel who announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds, he said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Good news of great joy. It's announcing the birth of Jesus, right? The angel speaking to these shepherds. It's good news of great joy. I believe heaven was abounding with joy at the birth of Christ. And it was so much that it spilled over onto earth. There was like an overflow of joy. That heaven's just rejoicing, the birth of Jesus, right? The answer, the Savior, all of this stuff. And it leaks out all over earth, right? It overflows. And I also believe that it hasn't stopped. That joy wasn't stopped. It's still going. And as followers of Jesus, I think we, you and I, are meant to be like the angel. And that wherever we go, we're his ambassadors of joy. And we get to announce the good news in this day and time, in this season, in your spheres of influence. You're a messenger of joy because you have connection with the joy giver, the one who's full of joy, right? Where is fullness of joy found? Do you guys know? It's in his presence. Fullness of joy is found in his presence. So if you want more joy, get in his presence. If you're walking through life and you don't have a lot of joy, I got a secret. You might not be actually in his presence. Now, he's with you, right? He's always around you, right? But there's probably more, deeper intimacy that you could have if you're not experiencing joy. Again, is it all on you? No. But is it partly on you? Yes. Right? If you want more, go get it. Go get it. What's the measure of joy the people in your spheres of influence are tasting and seeing as they encounter you? Like I left that Safeway store and I knew that that woman who was a clerk there, she was overflowing with joy because it leaked over every single customer who walked in her line. I left with joy because of her. I don't know this lady. I was just there buying something, right? But she just leaked joy all over me. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. That's powerful. That's who we're supposed to be. We're the ones who access heaven and transform earth. That's our mission statement here. We access the substances of heaven and we transform the earth around us. That's who you are, right? It's just truth. And if you're not currently abounding with joy, will you choose to press in for more this Christmas season? We got the best news there ever was in the history of mankind. As believers, followers of Jesus. It's the best news. There has never been a better announcement. I got a check in the mail from the state of California last. I got home from the Christmas party, right? All you guys had fun at the Christmas party. Glad you were there. I got a check for $1,100 from the state of California. I wasn't expecting that. But let me tell you something. The news about who Jesus is and what he did for us is way better than $1,100. I could give a hoot about $1,100. You see what I'm saying? But we get excited about a lot of things that are temporary. And yet we have the best news in the history of mankind, and we keep it secret. Why? I can't answer that question for you. But I can for me. I have to look at that myself. Does that make sense? So what's the takeaway today? As followers of Jesus, we are meant to abound in thanksgiving, prosperity, hope, love, joy, and the works of the Lord. If you find that you're abounding in a substance that's not from heaven, as you sit here, or if you're listening on the podcast and you're hearing this, don't condemn yourself. Did Jesus ever condemn you? No, he never will. Should I repeat that? If you ever are feeling condemnation, it's not from Jesus. It's from the enemy. And all you need to do, if you're feeling that, just repent. You recognize that you're walking in a different thing, just repent. What does that mean? Just turn from it. Stop doing it. It's over there. And then put something in its place. Don't just leave a vacuum like a hole. Say, I fill myself with the victim mindset or poverty mindset or whatever, right? That's not true. But say, for the sake of this message, and I'm tired of it. So I'm going to repent from that. I'm not going to look at that. So I'm going to go over here and I'm going to look. The Bible says that I'm meant to abound in prosperity. So I'm going to abound in prosperity. And I start declaring that. And I start asking God to show me where is that in my life. And I start looking for it. I start pressing for it. And next thing you know, I start seeing it. It's the reality of the kingdom. And so you have to walk in a different direction or fill your mind and your language, your tongue really, is a powerful weapon, right? What comes out of your mouth. If you're always talking about lack, guess what you're going to find? Lack. If you continue talking about the prosperity of God and the goodness of God, like Pastor Lewis talked about overwhelming this morning, the picture I had in my pre-service was that we're meant to be overwhelmed by the goodness of God, right? We're meant to. And so we always talk about what we're overwhelmed by as these negative things. I feel like God's redeeming the word overwhelmed today. He's saying, no, actually overwhelmed is a really good word. It's my word. And you're meant to be overwhelmed by all of these things: thanksgiving, prosperity, hope, love, joy, right? That's what we're supposed to be overwhelmed with. I'm supposed to be overwhelmed by his goodness, that his goodness is so much on me that wherever I go, it leaks, like that woman at Safeway with joy. That makes sense? I don't even know if that woman is a believer. I have a hard time believing she's not, right? But I don't know for sure. But somewhere she got access to joy, right? She's abounding in joy, and she's leaking it all over the place. We're supposed to be the same way. If you want to grow in abounding in a substance of heaven, here's my advice. Ask, seek, and knock. Just ask him. Seek it. Knock on the door. Keep knocking on the door. Keep knocking on the door. If it's not working by knocking, get a battle ram or whatever it is, right? Break it down. Your heavenly Father is the giver of good gifts. And he wants you to abound in thanksgiving, prosperity, hope, love, joy, the works of the Lord, more than you could ever think or imagine. He's after that because he loves you. It's not just for what you can do for him. It's for you. It's for you to have a happier life. It's for you to experience abundant life. And then does it affect everybody in your sphere of influence? Of course it does, because that's how the kingdom works. All right, let's pray. All right, Jesus, you're so good. And I praise you for what you're doing and how you're working in our lives. I praise you for the timing of this word. In this season, at this time, in everything that's going on in our local world and global world, and that your word to your body this morning is abound, that we're meant to abound in the substances of heaven. It's in your word, there's truths and promises that we can take hold of, that we can declare, we can press for and fight for. And a lot of it requires your grace being poured out upon us. And so, Lord, I'm asking for a dispensation of grace on the house of grace, on the people of grace today. Those who are connected to the people of grace, that there would be an outpouring, an overflow of grace that would enable us to abound in the substances of heaven that will shake this county and turn it upside down. And will lead our personal lives, our families, into a greater measure of abundant life. It's what you paid for, and we have access to it, but too often we say we settle for less. Or when it feels hard to try to get it, we stop because it's too hard. And that the reality is if we just pushed a little bit harder, the big rock would roll down the hill or the door would open. And so I pray that you would give us a sense of perseverance today, a tenacity to fight for the things that your word says that we're meant to walk in. And in this holiday season, this Christmas season, where we celebrate the birth of Christ, we celebrate the Savior coming from heaven to redeem the world and to redeem our lives and to create a portal, right, for us to access intimacy with the Father. We celebrate that, and yet the truth is we're meant to be the ones who proclaim the joy of that message, just like the angel proclaimed to the shepherds that night. And I pray that it would radically wreck us this week and in the coming weeks, your joy. And that we would truly be messengers of joy as we share about your goodness and your faithfulness, testimonies of what you've done and how you're working in our lives and lives of others. Yeah. I pray that you would meet any person here who's finds when they look in the mirror that they're operating under or they're abounding under another substance that's not from heaven. And I pray that you would meet them right in that place. And that you would give them hope today, that you wouldn't be bringing it up if there wasn't a solution for them to be done with it. because you already paid for it. You nailed it to the cross. And so I pray just a breath of fresh hope over the congregation today and anybody in that category. And we do renounce the spirit of condemnation as well. And we pray for wisdom and strategy of how to walk with and who to walk with into the victory of accessing the substances of heaven, abounding in substances of heaven, instead of those other substances that don't serve us. And we pray that you would seal this word. I pray that it would produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold in our lives and the lives of the generations to come for your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.